Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here with Pastor Adam.
Hello, everybody. I'm here.
Hello. We are glad to be back.
Yes. It's been a little bit since we recorded last. And so we're back. And
it's not a bit for y'all, though.
No, it's not. And matter of fact, what's interesting is this episode that we are recording right now will come out in like 2 days.
Yeah.
So it's right on. But sometimes we're recording stuff a couple weeks before. But so for us, it's been a little while.
Yeah.
And we're a little later than we normally do. We're actually a lot later than we normally record. And so we're just kind of getting back into the swing.
Yes. So if you were listening to this today, which is Wednesday at this point.
Yes.
We just recorded it on Monday around 7 p.m.
Yep. That's right.
Hello. Back behind the scenes.
Yep.
Anyway.
What are we doing, Steph?
Today, we have gone through, so we have 13 Thankful Meditations. That is our series name.
Yep.
So we've been going through some different quotes from just different people.
Yeah. All the quotes are from, all the quotes are pretty old.
Yeah.
Most of them, and they're all from church leaders, Christian leaders, Christian authors, preachers.
Thank you for naming that.
Right.
There we go. Right? Yeah, I was like, these people from the past.
they're all very well known in the Christian circle, and especially when it comes to their writings or their teachings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the one today is actually more known as a preacher, but we have most of his sermons actually written down. And so they've turned into writings now, but they were all originally sermons. And so we've just been looking at a lot of these people who are writing on these particular thoughts. And so we've been looking at these quotes that are all based on thankfulness and gratitude, right? So this series is what, Steph?
13 Thankful Meditations.
13 Thankful Meditations, right? And so only one of them, the very last one, is a scripture. They're all just these writings. And we're just taking time to read them and meditate on them, right? Mm-hmm. That's why they're meditations, so that we can grow in us more gratitude and thankfulness in this year, right?
Yeah.
So this is like episode 9 of the series, so we're more than halfway through, and it's just kind of starting off the year, right? So we're trying to grow gratitude in our hearts, and not just thankfulness in general, but specific thankfulness and gratitude to God.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to grow. So these quotes, we're just reading them and chewing on them.
And it's
meditating
been great.
On them. What's the thoughts? Yeah. A couple of the last ones were extremely good.
Yeah.
Like I went back and listened to 7 and 8 this week, last week, and they were really, really good. They're really helpful.
Yeah.
And we've had a bunch of people reach out and through the series and be like, hey, this is really helping me. Valerie talked to somebody just recently who I didn't even know listened to the podcast and was like, I really need to hear this episode. And I don't know which one it was. And we've got some people that have listened forever and they've really liked this series. So,
go God.
Yeah. So God's good because it definitely ain't us.
God is working through it.
This is the most zero prep series we have ever done on the podcast. So, today is even worse because me and Steph both were like, we meditated on these thoughts
today, like we looked at them today.
Yeah. So you're going to get some raw
still great
thoughts of what we have about them, right? And all we're doing is something you can mimic, right? All we're doing is having a conversation together, but really it's just our own personal thoughts about this idea. That's how you meditate on something, right? You just start to, you just read it and you chew on it and you go, does that mean this? Or this means this to me? Or this is what this makes me feel like or think about, right? And you just kind of chewing on it. And we're going to just do that live while we're on the podcast. That's it. So
that's pretty much
that's all we got. Sorry. So number ninth one in the series, this is episode 197.
Yes.
And what is the quote today? This is a short one.
It says, if you are not content with what you have, you would not be satisfied if it were doubled.
And that is
Charles Spurgeon.
Charles Spurgeon. So Charles Spurgeon is, I think, one of the greatest preachers who's ever lived. This guy can straight up preach a message, right? And this is all old, so it'll sound a little bit different if you read his writings and stuff. But dude can flat out preach. And all of his stuff comes from sermons that have now been turned into things that we reference, and you know, you can buy a book, I think, of his complete works, and I think it's like all of his sermons together that have been recorded. It's pretty cool. So Charles Spurgeon is one of my favorite preachers of all time. And you can't watch a video of him preach because video didn't exist. You know what I mean? So, and there's no recording of it, right? You just got to kind of read it. But he says, if you're not content with what you have, you would not be satisfied if it were doubled. So let's think on that. Let's talk on that. If you weren't content with what you have.
What you have right now in
right
the present.
Now, right. If you're not content with that, if whatever you had got doubled, you wouldn't be content with that either.
So even if it increased or got better.
Right. So let's pick some way to think. Let's pick some way to quantify this and make it, you know, so we can touch it. If you aren't satisfied with the money you make right now, you would not be content if it were doubled. And see, my initial reaction to this quote is, I don't know about that, Charles. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think I'd be content if my paycheck got doubled. But what he's speaking to is really at the heart of all of us, right? Like, contentment is not based on what we actually have. See, we think it is.
Right.
We think contentment is based on what we have. But contentment's not based on what we have or don't have. It is this, and it goes along with this idea of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
It is a mindset and a heart posture that doesn't matter what we have, right?
That's
so
right.
If we are people who are content in whatever space we're in, time we're in, stuff that we have, if we're living in contentment, then if that's taken away or if it's increased, right? If things get worse or they get better, it doesn't change our contentment. See, I think the heart of us, and I'm talking about myself when I say this, I think the heart of us as people is to base our contentment off what we have. So we're always looking to some future time of, well, when we get here, when this happens, when we get X, Y, Z, or whatever it is, right? When we arrive, then we'll be content. But until then, we're not. And then I've seen this in my life that that's a lie, and I know it because once I get there, I'm now looking for something else out in the future.
That's right.
Right? Now it just starts to transition to some distant future place where all would be right enough for me to be content. And contentment can't be based on what is in, it can't be based on what we have or don't have, right? It has to really just be, and I think gratitude is all tied to this. That's why this one's in here with these quotes. Your gratitude, your level of thankfulness can't be based on what you have. And I've seen some, I bet we've all seen this, some real life examples where this is true. Like if you have ever went into a developing country, your initial response is, your first instinct. So every time we take groups to the Dominican Republic with Casas por Cristo or whatever, people's initial response is, oh my gosh, these people are so thankful. They're so content with the little that they have. It's their first thought. And then the more time that they're there, the more they realize, no, it's not about how little they have, because they have a lot of stuff we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean stuff. I mean, there are things that they are enjoying that we don't enjoy, like real community. Like
yeah.
There's real community there. The contentment's not, what they are feeling is contentment's not based on what they have or what they don't have. That there's this level of contentment that can be there no matter what your situation is in life. That's a game changer, because if you and I can be content with the state that we are in right now, then whatever changes, good or bad, if the Lord gives or the Lord takes away, it doesn't matter, right? Like it's not changing my mindset of, God, you're good and you're gracious, and I'm just thankful for what I have and where I'm at right now, right? And so then when things come along that aren't bad, it doesn't wreck your whole – when things come around that are bad, right, or when you lose things, it doesn't wreck your whole life. But when things come along and all of a sudden you come up in life a little bit, you're like George and Wheezy and the Jeffersons and you're moving on up. When that happens, all of a sudden now you are still content with what you had before, so it doesn't swell your head and then also blow up your life in the same way. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how often do we as people have our lives blown up because things either come along that take away what we have, or things come along and we get an extra little bit And now all of a sudden we're blown up either way. Like stuff comes along, life comes along, right? Opportunities come along, and we, our state of life kind of changes a little bit, right? So we lose some things, some possessions that we have or some opportunities that we have. And now all of a sudden our self-esteem is wrecked and we're sitting around, you know, now we're extra irritated at the stuff that we do have because we don't have that other stuff. But then your life gets blown up the same way when opportunities come along, and now all of a sudden it swells us up where we think it's our own selves, right, or whatever. And then we're not as content with the stuff that we had that happened before. Like, I don't know if that makes any sense, but if we're at a spot where we're content with where we are right now, then whether things come along that go well or things come along that don't, whether the Lord gives or whether the Lord takes away, it doesn't change our mindset, our posture, right?
Yeah.
And I really do think, we talked about this early on, that gratitude and thankfulness is very much tied to contentment. And this is a hard one for me because I am not a very content person. I tend to be, I don't know about you, Steph, but I tend to be content with possessions. Like, I'm not a real possession kind of guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care what house I live in and what car I drive and what clothes I wear, obviously, right? Like, I could, those things aren't the case. So I tend to be content with that. You know, it doesn't really matter. I don't care whether Valerie and I have a lot of money or a little money. That's not me. But I tend to be very discontent with other things, like success, being recognized, being seen, being heard. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally.
Influence. Influence is a good one, right? Because I tend to be very discontent with influence. One of the reasons why I do not look at the numbers on the podcast, right? How many people are listening, how many plays, all that junk. One of the reasons I don't look at it is because I'm a very discontent person. And whatever number that would be, I wouldn't like it. You know what I mean?
That, like, makes sense.
Doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like it. And so those are the things that I tend to have a lot of discontent with. So I think when we read this quote, we immediately start to think like possessions.
Yeah.
If you're not content with what you have. But what we also have is not just possessions. It's all kinds of things, right? It's influence. It's state of life. It's the people in our lives, you know, the people that are surrounding us. It's friendships. It's relationships. It's our level of feeling successful or not, right? All those things.
Yeah, respected.
Are there too. Respected is a good one, right?
Yeah.
Tend to be more discontent with those things.
I can be that way as well.
See, I think you are very similar to that too. Like,
yeah.
I've known you since you were young, and so possessions ain't really your thing either, right? You don't really care. You know what I mean? And I don't either, right? Valerie and I, we drive older cars that are paid for, right? We're not trying to get to the next new thing.
Neither are more of experiences, yeah, people.
Neither one of us care what we wear. Doesn't make any difference, right? That's not a thing. But we both struggle with, are we winning? Did we succeed?
I totally get
What's
that,
our
yeah.
influence feel like? You know, like you were saying, are we receiving respect? You know, all those.
I can struggle with that one as a manager.
Right. Yeah. You know, and so, and I also find myself discontent with where God has me. Right?
I get that, yeah.
That makes sense? Not what I have, but where he has me. Because I always feel like it should be more, right? And I never feel like it should
I get
be less,
that.
Which is interesting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
when I'm trying to apply this quote, I'm trying to apply it to the areas where I'm discontent.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you can use this, the way you meditate on something like this is you allow it to show you what areas are you naturally more content, right? Your spirit is content towards, and what area is it not? And then you got to remind yourself that if that part got fixed, that part you're not content with, that's what he's saying. If that part you got that you aren't content with all of a sudden got fixed and you got what you thought you would need to be content with it, he's saying you still wouldn't be.
You know what's crazy is there's an area in my life, I'm not going to share it right now because it ain't time, but I think about that all the time. I'm like, if this was just better, the way I want it to be? Would I still be content? Like, would I be happy? Would I? And I just think God's taken me through some stuff to kind of grow me. But yeah, I agree with you. It's just, yeah, I agree. I don't even know where I'm going
to
go with that.
Well, he takes us, I mean, obviously he takes us through things on mm-hmm. purpose to, yeah. like, our dependency and our contentment has to be found in him. So
truly.
And if it's not, then he's not loving us if he's not helping us see that. Right.
That's right.
That our contentment cannot be found in anything else. So if we find our, if we find the fact that we are content, if our gratitude is built on the fact that, hey, God has given me life, he mm-hmm. loves me, I am saved and sealed and delivered and all those things, and so and I get to breathe, I get to breathe today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's things that aren't going the way I want them to. Okay, there's things that are going better than I thought they would or that I should have. And so I'm just kind of content being a child of God.
That's good.
That can't ever be taken away.
That's
right?
So good, yeah.
That can't ever be taken away. So now it doesn't matter. If my contentment is I'm a child of God, right? If my contentment is I'm a son of the king, right? I'm a daughter of the king,
yeah.
right? Like I'm an heir.
That's good.
I'm an heir to the throne. If my contentment is in that, mm-hmm. then it doesn't matter whether I get a come up or I get a knockdown,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't change my contentment because that's the thing that can't be changed, right?
Ooh.
The fact that you're a son of God can't be changed.
Right.
A daughter of the king can't. Nobody. Jesus says, who's going to snatch him out of my hand?
Yep.
Right. It's almost like a double dog dare when Jesus says that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's going to snatch them out of my mighty right hand? Right. Nobody. In other words, I got you. And so if our contentment is in that, you know, then it doesn't matter whether things go well or things don't.
That is so good.
If you want to get the heart of this, you read some Job. Job will mess you up.
It will mess you up.
If you're newer to
it's
this
good,
thing in
though.
The faith, Job is an Old Testament book. There's a lot of debate all across the aisle on whether or not Job was a real person, right,
mm-hmm.
or whether it was allegorical, right?
Yeah.
And I think that all the writing styles and everything that points to it historically actually points to it being allegorical. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really matter, right, which way you want to interpret that. You don't have to get all crazy when I say that and go, did he just say the Bible is not literally true? No, I didn't say that at all.
No, you're talking about the opinions they have about it. Yeah,
right, exactly. We don't fully know. I mean, was anybody listening around when Job was around? Then no, you don't know if he was actually a historical person or if this is allegorical. But the way that it's written gives this big picture, and Job will mess you up because Job literally the enemy Satan comes to God and says, "Let me mess with him."
Yeah,
and God says, "Okay, right." God says, oh, "Go at it," right. And then you'll watch Job just struggle through the whole thing, man. I mean, the whole thing.
And then his friends come up and they're saying stuff.
And they're supportive for a while. Like what's funny in Job is that you get a picture.
Yeah.
You get a picture of what good friendship looks like.
And
then you get a picture of what bad friendship looks like from the exact same people.
True.
Because at first, all they do is sit with him. Like,
yeah.
And we need friends that'll just sit with us sometimes. They don't got an answer. They ain't coming to fix it. They're just going to sit with you. And then you see them at some point going, all right, this is stupid. You just need to curse God and die. Let's just get this over with, right? Like, this
you must be sinning.
Right,
that's
you
why.
You must be sinning, right? This has got to be bad.
Yeah.
And Job just holds tight all the way through. And it's this picture of, I'm certain of who I am in the Lord. I am certain of the Lord. That phrase I just said five times, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, is Job saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, to whatever comes, there is this level of contentment found in Job in who he is in God and who God is throughout the whole thing, so that in the beginning when he has things, the contentment is still there. As he loses everything, the contentment is still there. And then the book ends with him receiving tenfold mm-hmm. what he lost, and yet his contentment is staying the same, right? So it doesn't matter how much, doesn't matter how little, doesn't matter if it's given, doesn't matter if it's taken, I'm good, right? Because my contentment is found in the fact that God is good, God is kind, and I'm his child, which makes every day new. And so maybe the best way for us to really process this is to think through what areas, so right now, wherever you're at, driving, listening, whatever it is, what areas are you more content in your life? and what areas are you less? Mm. Where do which parts? Because you can't. Nobody in their life can go, I'm content in everything. No, you're not.
You can't.
Right? But you can figure out the ways, and probably nobody is discontent with everything either.
Right.
More than likely, right?
Right.
And so maybe you can go, well, I'm content with my children and my spouse and my family, and I find that I am not content with the things that I have or the status that I'm in, or I'm not content with my work or my paycheck, right? Or you might be the opposite of me and Steph. You might be very content in your influence and your respect and all those things, and you are discontent with the physical stuff, whatever it is. But just allow this to think through it, to allow this to make you think through it, and then to go, okay, if what I'm feeling like I need was doubled, Spurgeon says I still wouldn't be content. Is that true? And I have found it to be. So, like, I'll take you through just a little bit for me. And I think I've talked about this on a podcast recently. I just referenced it in the message I preached Sunday. Excuse me. But here's the journey I've been on for like 5-6 years now. I thought that I would only be content when the church reached a certain size, right?
Yeah.
And influence. And so when we were 14 people, Steph was one of those 14. When we were 14 people, it wasn't as much. But I was in my mind thinking, God, just get us to 100 people. Man, I'd be content. I don't know what I'd do with 100 people. Right? I don't have any clue. Like, and when we got to that mark, before it even happened, as it was happening, I was already going, well, this is not enough, right? We got to go to more. Right. And so I'm thinking that once that's corrected, I would be content, but I wasn't. And so every time we'd hit a new mark, it was always just, it has to be more. It has to be more. It has to be more. And it wasn't like, I'm going to be real with you. It wasn't from a standpoint of more people coming to God, like more glory to God. It was really about me and my ego. You know what I mean? And every single time we would hit some new mark, I would still not be content with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I said this recently in the podcast, so I did ignore it. But and then about 5 years ago or so, right, we had hit some number, attendance number, that we had never hit before. I don't remember what it was. And as the person came to me and said, hey, we hit this number, I immediately thought, and I think I said out loud, dang, I thought it'd be more, right? And everybody else was like, this is amazing. And I was like, I thought it'd be more. And it's the same thing I've been doing since the beginning. It's actually the same thing I've been doing all my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
With influence, with success. It's never been enough. This is how I know Spurgeon's quote spot on to my soul, because this is where I can apply it. And I swear to you that I don't know if God spoke out loud, but I think he did. Because I was looking around to see if anybody else heard what I just heard. That's how loud it was. But it was a whisper. And it was this whisper where God said, you know, you always say that. Like it was this, I'll see if I can do it. He goes, you always say that.
Oh, wow.
And I could cry right now talking about it. I said this Sunday in a message. Like mm-hmm. I was like, what? Did anybody else hear that? And I could just hear the, I knew it was God. I knew it was the Spirit of God. You always say that. And it caused me to pause. And I realized that it's right. No matter what number would have been, that they could have said, Adam, we just hit 10 times what we thought. They could have said the lobby's slapped full of people and people are outside and people everywhere. And here's a number. And I would have still went, ah, I thought there'd have been more.
Yeah.
And God just called me out. And not in some horrible way. Like it was this convicting straight to my soul for my good. You know what I mean? That you always say that. And I was like, I do always say this. And then COVID hit. Right after that, COVID hit. And it decimated church and church attendance. I mean, we still are only 60-some percent of what we were, you know, number-wise prior to COVID. You know what I mean? Like, and it changed people. Everything. Like, overnight it was nobody in the room. We were online. Right. And then as people started coming back to church and things got lifted and all that stuff, it was 10% of what it was before. I mean, it was just decimated. And what's funny is through all that, I was able to go, I'm growing in contentment with this. I'm okay with this. So like Sunday, for example, Sunday was not the attendance that it was 5 years ago on that day when that person came to me and said, we've hit this attendance record. It wasn't that. And yet I was like, man, this is a good Sunday. I'm content, right? I really am. You know what I mean? But I'm saying real life example of you tell yourself, you believe the lie from the enemy that if this was doubled, like Spurgeon says, if all of a sudden you got what you wanted and it was extra, you still wouldn't be fully content and satisfied, right? Because your contentment and satisfaction is based on something that can be given or taken away, not on something that can't be taken away, right? Mm-hmm. Like God's call on my life, and it's the same for you, like God's call on my life is whether or not revival breaks out in the church or not, I am to fulfill the role he's placed me in faithfully. I'm mm-hmm. to be faithful to that. And whether the revival breaks out in my house or not, I am to be faithful as, you know, a father and a husband, a godly father and a husband to the role he's placed me in. Whether or not that means that revival breaks out in my kids or my wife or revival breaks out in the church or whatever it is, doesn't matter. And I'm just to be faithful to my role. And I should be content in the fact that I'm his and he's called me to this. And the rest of it's up to him. The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord is the rest of that quote from Job. And that really changed the game for me. I'm still working on it, right? Mm-hmm. It still wells up from time to time. But I know that this statement is true when it comes to that. Because when we first listen to this statement, we want to go, I don't know, man. If my paycheck was doubled, I'd be pretty content with that. But I'm telling you, very quickly, it would just be you continue to look out to the future, to the next one. Well, now we need to do this more, right? Now we need more of this. And it would just always be something that's just right outside of our grasp, you know, instead of what we actually have, where God actually has us now, and be content with those things. And in finding our contentment in the fact that God loves us and cares for us and we're a child of the King. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is pretty clear-cut quote, but and I didn't look at it before today, so these are just my first thoughts.
Same.
I looked at it a month or two ago when we started doing this, but this is my really first thoughts on it, and I'm going to think about this a lot because God has had me in this mindset now for like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's been actually a long time. I'm kind of ready to move on, but he's not having
it's
me
God's
move on.
It's God's timing.
He's not having me move on. I can't tell you how often that story comes up now. Right?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because it just came up Sunday. I know I've said it on the podcast before.
You have.
It just comes up all the time. I just can't get away from it.
And it's your testimony.
And it's really coming back to contentment. Mm-hmm. What am I content with? If God changed my entire station in life right now, would I be content? You know, if all of a sudden I wasn't the pastor of Union, right? If all of a sudden I had zero influence, if nobody listened to the podcast, if nobody showed up to church, am I content, right?
Yeah. That's
big
deep.
Big question. And you can apply that to your life,
right?
To
anything, yeah.
To anything. You know, if whatever it is, and I would just apply it to the part that you feel most discontent about or you're tempted to be most discontent about, right? Like if it's work or if it's pay, we'll go, what if all of that disappeared tomorrow? You know, am I content in who I am and what I have and where God has me? Or is my self-worth really based on attaining this thing that I'm not content with? And for me, that was the case. It still is somewhat, right? That my self-worth's always been based on success and winning. You know, maybe success and winning, I'm measuring the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so that's all I got.
Well, I hope that you all can definitely reflect on this quote and apply it to that area that you're not content in right now. Because it will help you with your gratitude. It will. Because you need to sit there and think about it. Like that thing that you're discontent with or the thing that you don't have that you want right now.
Right.
It's going to hurt because you might be comparing it to somebody else
yeah.
that has it.
Yeah.
or whatever it is, but ask yourself, if God were to double that today, would your heart still be changed? Like, would your heart still be the same? Like, I don't know. That's something to think about.
I agree. Good question.
Anyway, we are glad y'all joined us, and we look forward to the next episode.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be back shortly.
Honestly, actually, we're about to hit record the next one.
In just a minute. All right, we'll see you guys on episode 198.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.